So when I left for college just over 10 years ago, I had a laptop computer, a cell phone, a GPS, a digital camera, an iPod, and CDs, and actual physical photo albums, and I had paper journals. Now I have an iPhone. And this technology is incredible. For most of us, it's just like pure magic. We have no idea how in the world all this stuff flies through the air, gets to our phones. We just know that it works and it has revolutionized how we do life. I remember coming back like once, maybe 1 or 2 years after college, and I had printed directions on MapQuest to go somewhere in Tulsa. And naturally, when I went to go home, I didn't print return directions because like I'll just follow them backwards. And next thing I know, I'm in Texas, driving all the way back up to Tulsa and all the way back over. So, I mean, there's definite perks to technology. With my phone, I can do all these useful and valuable things. Those of you who support Weight of Glory Orphan Care, it's super easy to send that money to the orphanage. It takes 5 minutes on my phone. I can send up to $5,000 to Wilbrod in just a matter of clicks. I can access apps, the Bible app or She Reads Truth app. If I've forgotten or gotten behind, yesterday I just sat in a coffee shop right there on my phone and read the thing I'd planned to read in the morning. I can just listen to amazing podcasts. I can message or FaceTime my grandma. I'm in a digital book club with Michelle and one of our friends, and we Skype from this book club, and we all live in different places. I can record all the little antics of my roommates, my little roommates over there. I can plan my next home project from my phone or research literally anything that I'm curious about. And even the teaching that you're hearing today was compiled from various podcasts, notes on my phone, screenshots, books that I bought on Amazon because I saw them on Instagram. I mean, technology has just changed how we have interacted in our lives. But I can also watch hours of Netflix. I can mindlessly scroll through Instagram. And you know, my dad texted me, I'm not sure why he was looking at this, but we all share this Prime account. And you know, I bought 78 things from Amazon last year. I'm sure that's one click from my phone. Anything from dog food to vitamins. I mean, you can get anything. And I can imagine, you know, sometimes our children must feel like they're on reality TV because, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Let me pull out my phone, every little thing that they do. And, you know, what I can really do with technology is that instead of looking around and seeing what's in the world, with all this technology around me, if I'm not really careful, I can keep my mind busy all the time. And if my mind is busy, I don't have to feel anything I want to feel or think about anything that I don't want to think about. And that's how it works, right? Like, we have this handheld escape in our hands all the time to escape anything that makes us feel uncomfortable. We're in the middle of a 4-week series on simplicity, and we're just looking at a few things about how our lives simplify when we simply follow what Jesus says. So last week we looked at things or stuff, as David put it. So we looked at what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus and own things in this age of consumerism. And this week we're looking at what it's like to live in the digital age. So the digital age came right after the Industrial Revolution, when all of a sudden computers started doing some of our jobs. I think it was like the 70s. But really, the digital age, a lot of times people refer to it, it's really this last 10 years. And the main questions I want to explore today are, why does technology matter to the follower of Jesus, and what does it mean for the follower of Jesus to use it well? And I think the best place to start with any topic is reality. So I'm going to go through a lot of facts and a lot of numbers really quickly here. Some of you will love it, some of you will hate it, but here is where we are with technology in the U.S. So in 2011, just a few years ago, 35% of Americans had smartphones. By 2015, that percentage doubled to 68% of Americans. And the younger you are, or if your household makes a total of $75,000 or more, it jumps to the high 80th percentile. that have smartphones. 89% of people look at their phones before they get out of bed. The average child, age 2 to 11, watches 24 hours of TV a week. That's one day a week that the average child watches TV. And that only goes up as you get older. So the average American adult watches 5 to 7 hours of TV a day, up to 2 full days a week. So a lot of this has changed. In the last 10 years, Netflix has transformed from this DVD by mail service to a way to deliver reruns over the internet to this full-fledged modern television network that makes their own shows all in the span of a decade. So 10 years ago, if you bought stock in Netflix, one, you're really, really smart because it was only $3.84. Today, I guess it was yesterday, Netflix stock was $280.27 a share. It is worth more than every other major media company except Netflix, or except Disney. Pornhub, which is kind of like Netflix for porn, with 7 months of launching in May 25, 2007, the site had reached 1 million daily visits. In 2008, 1% of those people watched it on their phones, so accessibility was a little bit lower. In 2017, 75% of people accessed the site from their phones, and today they have over 22 million registered subscribers. So that's the reality of where our country and where Western society is with technology. But now I want to just get like a little bit more close to home. Like we can say, well, that's Americans, you know, those people, that's not us, right? So where are you? So I want to do a little experiment. If you have an iPhone, go ahead and pull it out. If you don't have an iPhone, you can, I don't know how quickly your phone downloads, but you can download this app called App Tracker. But and it'll do the same thing. But go ahead and pull out your phone and open your Settings app. So if you don't know where the Settings app is, you can just pull down or swipe left on your home screen and type Settings in the search bar. So you open the Settings app and you scroll down to the green icon labeled Battery. It's like a page and a half scroll down, I think. And then it'll take a second to load, but you can scroll down and you look at the usage section. So you can see, you know, it'll give you a percentage of how often you've used your apps in the last, it'll give you an option of looking at 24 hours or the last 7 days. And if you see on there, on your right, there's a little time or a little clock. So you click that clock and it will tell you how many hours you have spent on each app in the last day or in the last week. So I did this morning. I spent 4 hours on Instagram last week. 4 hours on my messaging app. You know, you can just see really quickly, like, where do I spend my time when I'm on my phone? I went to Kansas City yesterday, so that kind of made it look a little better. My Maps app was way up there. So I almost just was like, yeah, I like my last 24 hours. It was great. But does it surprise you how much time you've given to your phone? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray really quick before we go forward. Holy Spirit, we just ask, like we sang earlier, that you would be here. We know that you're always around, but I just ask that you would work with each of us where we are with technology, that you would just bring insight to our minds. I know it would be different for everybody, but I just pray that each person here would just be thoughtful and intentional as we look at technology. And most importantly, I just ask that we would be redirected to you, that we would have this desire in our hearts more than anything to know you more and to know what you'd want for our lives. In your name, amen. So all this to say, now that we've looked at all these facts, I want to transition to thinking about what you think about in your mind is nothing compared to what you love in your heart. Another way to say that is we don't become what we think we want to be. We don't become what we've made our New Year's resolutions. We become what we follow. So we don't become what we think we want to be. We become what we follow. So I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount for one of my readings this week, just yesterday, so I don't think we have a slide for it. But the Sermon on the Mount is one of Jesus' main teachings on how we're to live. And I came across this verse in Matthew 6, verse 22. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Then right after that, Jesus goes on and he talks about anxiety and worry. So in the past, like, I just always thought of the Sermon on the Mount. It's just like these snippets of like really wise information. It's like, hey, build your house on the solid rock, not on the sand. And then he like skips to a totally different thought and says, hey, you can follow God or you can follow money, but you have to choose. And then he goes to the next thing. You know, I've just thought he's kind of just hitting like all these main points. But then yesterday when I was reading, maybe it's because I was preparing for this, but I thought, what if these are more tied together? Like, what if these are a little bit more like if then? So he's talking about what you are looking at, what you are intaking through your eyes, and he's saying, hey, if you're taking in something that's dark and it's going inside you, then you don't have any light in there. It's dark. Like, how dark are you if everything you're seeing is dark? And then immediately after that, he starts talking and he says, hey, don't be anxious. So what if Jesus is saying like, hey, I know humans, I helped make humans, and also I became a human. So listen, like when your eyes are full of untruths with mindless information, when you're intaking things that are not helpful to you, you're gonna be more anxious. Like what if those are tied together? It's not just, hey, what you look at over here, don't look at bad stuff, and then it's, hey, don't be anxious. What if it's, you're looking at bad stuff, and also that can make you anxious? So did you know anxiety disorders are the most common mental health concern in the United States? It's estimated that 40 million adults in the US, that's 18%, almost 20% of adults, have an anxiety disorder, which is up. Like that has just been flying up in the last few years. It's becoming a major concern for millennials, but even more for the generation behind us. So I know, like, as a disclaimer, for some of you, anxiety is pathological. It's less out of your control. It's something that's been in your family for a long time. But for a lot of us, it's a product of what we've put in there. The light that's in us is dark. There's nothing. We're not bringing enough light in to counter the darkness. So spiritual formation, we sometimes think, oh, that's just a Christian thing. But really, it's this human thing. And as human beings, we're always becoming something. Something that's really unique about us as humans, that's different even than animals, is we're always becoming something else. Our brains are dynamic, they're ever-changing, and science has shown that as we repeat tasks or thoughts or ideas, these pathways in our mind are just forming from paths to roads and then super highways the more that we repeat something. So this happens both intentionally and unintentionally. It happens on purpose or it happens by accident. So like when you're going to go work out, you're like, please fire like 50 million of these so I want to do this again tomorrow, right? Like when you go running, like you've heard about those runners that love it, like they just get addicted to it. Their brain just like wants to go running. Or like maybe you want to lift really heavy things like Jordan. And like maybe he's been doing it so long, I don't know, maybe he just likes getting up that early. I don't know, that's not me, but maybe he's got this like super highway in there. But in many ways, like this is good news if you're a follower of Jesus, because it means that like as I intentionally follow Jesus, as I intentionally make effort, then my brain is literally changed to be more like his brain. And Paul talks about this in Romans 12:12. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it's like God's saying, hey, I want to change your brain, and I want to change it to be like mine so that then you can understand my brain even more and become even more like me. Like God's just inviting us to like totally have our brains reformatted. And this is, it's like he was explaining really simple ways of saying stuff that science is just now coming out with, that we're just now realizing like, oh, okay, let's do cognitive behavioral therapy and try to change those things through our therapy sessions. Let's try parenting. Let's try. God's like, that's what I've been saying. Talk to me. Make your brain like me. I have the best brain. But I would argue most of the time, in the area of technology, most of us are being unintentionally formed. We are being formed by accident. And for some of us, we're not really coming from a place of reality. We don't realize just how much we're actually giving to technology. And we're kind of shocked when we see the usage amounts on our phones. And not all that content is necessarily bad in and of itself. It's just a lot more than we thought. Others of us, we know. Like, we feel shame about it, whether it's the content, like the type of show or porn or things we're saying on our messages or on our social media, or just the sheer amount of time that we're spending. We know, but we just don't know how to stop. Or we even lack the interest in stopping because we don't know what else to do. We've gotten into such a deep rut. So the question today is, what are you becoming? Roll out 5 years or 10 years or even a year from now with your habits and hobbies, specifically around technology, but also just you can look at your whole person if you want. But who are you becoming? That question came up for me repeatedly in the last few weeks and months, and this reality was kind of terrifying. I was like, okay, what kind of brain am I making? If I'm always making a brain, what kind of brain am I going to have? One that knows a lot about the news, apparently, when I looked at it. Who's really caught up on these shows that I like, whose Instagram is pretty updated and it's accurate and active, and who seems to like have all these time, this time for Podflix? Podcasts and Netflix, but struggles to spend more than just like a few days with Jesus or a few minutes with Jesus a day. A person whose anxiety is rising or my irritability is rising. And so I said, okay, whoa, like I'm just going to make some changes. And so the first to go, I was like, okay, there's a couple shows I started watching. They're not that great. I'm just not going to watch those anymore. And so I'm like, I hope that show wasn't making very much of my brain. But one of those, I did some other things too, and one of those 78 items I bought from Amazon last year was an alarm clock. And actually, I don't think it was last year, it was this year. And so I'm no expert on this topic. Like, the reason Michelle was actually gonna do it, and she's like, you've been researching this a lot, why don't you just do this one? So we're definitely all in this together. I'm not speaking from any place of like, I've got technology down, guys. But I got this alarm clock, and I just thought it would be cool because I saw this one that, like, it has, like, this light on it, and it lights up like a sun for, like, 30 minutes. It's actually the worst. I hate it. I'm trying to figure out how to turn the sun off because it just, like, shines in your face, and then it makes, like, this ocean sound. But I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I actually bought a different one yesterday. So we each grow and learn as we go. But anyway, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a real alarm clock, and I'm going to plug it in the I'm going to plug my phone in the kitchen. And I'm just going to use a clock. Like, I'm just going to get away from, like, scrolling before I go to bed, scrolling when I wake up. Like, I'm just done. I'm not going to do that. So I plug my phone into the kitchen. Sometimes I'm still paranoid about the alarm clock, so I'll bring my phone and set 2 alarms. I don't trust my alarm clock setting abilities yet. Anyway, it stays there until the next morning. And then another thing was, like, I get home pretty late. I work a really weird shift. It's like 2 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And so I get home like around 11 or 11:30 each night. And like most people after work, I just want to like relax a little bit, have a snack, watch a show. And so that puts me to sleep around 1. And then this new foster baby joined the household, and he has these breathing problems, and he doesn't sleep that well. And he wakes up, and I was just like, I didn't feel like I don't own my life at all. I'm just waking up when this kid wakes up. I'm going to bed real late, and I'm not. This is probably part of the reason. Then when I do wake up, I'm like on my phone. I'm like, no, I'm gonna reformat and have this morning schedule. And so I just realized I'm being passive about my schedule. I'm being passive about how my mornings look, how my evenings look. And so it's only been a couple weeks, but I feel so much different. This last week was a little different. I got away from it. It was bad. Like, I had a tension, stress, headache for half the week. Because I don't know if it was because then my body knew what it was like when I finally made changes. And when I went back, it was like, no, what are you thinking? Switch back. But slowly these changes around technology have been adding so much to my life. I'd been listening to a few podcasts about these non-denominational pastors or musicians who've kind of discovered Sabbath in the Bible. So they're like, man, I really want to keep a Sabbath. Some of them turn off their phones completely for 24 hours. And while I didn't do that, I've noticed, like, I don't even know where my phone is right now. I think I left it at home. Like, I've tried to really actively one day a week been like, hey, I'm just going to set that over there and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not, unless I need directions, because obviously that doesn't go well for me. But it's just different things. When I really started to take inventory, like, I listened to a ton of different podcasts. None of them are bad. But when I looked at what was happening, it was like an hour and a half to 2 hours of news a day, and all this spiritual podcasts that I wanted to listen to are like, you have 94 podcasts behind. You know, and I was like, why? Like, why don't I cut back on just the sheer amount of information that I'm taking in? And that's what I've noticed over the last 6 weeks or so. The majority of ways that I use technology, they weren't so bad in and of themselves. Like, there's only a few things that I've completely cut out for what you might call, like, moral reasons. But when I begin to look beneath the surface and ask things like, what value does this add? Is this information that I'm getting the primary thing that I want my brain to be formed out of? And maybe the most important one is, what could I be doing with this time instead? And oftentimes we talk about technology, we're primarily concerned with the content, like, especially as Christians. Like, if you were like in youth groups in like the late 90s, early 2000s, it was all like, don't listen to rock music, and like, you know, worried about content. And I'm not, there's definitely things with content we don't need in our minds. But we're worried about, is what I'm watching appropriate or not? Are the people I'm following on Instagram tearing me down or up? Is the thing I'm listening to good information or bad information? And all those are good questions. But if we're not careful, we can miss the point that is at the heart of these questions. And that is, where I spend my time determines who I become. Where I spend my time determines who I become. And it doesn't necessarily, for me, I just thought, a lot of this isn't bad, but if my brain is being made, what do I want my brain made out of? And that changed the whole way that I asked these questions. So throughout the ages, followers of Jesus have developed a group of practices that we often call spiritual disciplines, and there's many of them. There's whole books on them, but the five that come up over and over and over again throughout time from when Jesus was here all the way till now are these five: silence, prayer, solitude, fasting, and meditation. And these are pulled directly from the life and teachings of Jesus. When Jesus started out his ministry, he had 40 days alone in the wild with God. In the book of Luke alone, we see example after example of Jesus slipping away in silence and solitude to pray, meditate, or fast. And really quickly, we'll jump through them, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One of these days, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, and it goes on to say what happened. But living in this digital age we live in, I believe it is harder than it has ever been to practice these disciplines. We sit down to pray, but we fall asleep because our schedules are so packed and we're so tired that when we sit down for a second, we're exhausted. We lose our place, and we want to watch this new show, right? Like, isn't there some new show with that guy from The Office, and it's like a Tom Clancy? You know, you kind of see these things, and you're like, oh, I want to be watching that. Why would I want to sit here and read a book? Books? What are books? And we go through even our attempts to make our Bible more accessible by having it on our phone. You have apps, and sometimes with the updates, you try to flip your app up, and it just opens, right? Like, you cannot get away from constant bombardment of information or notifications. So I don't know how long you've been following Jesus or what your relationship to technology is like, but I have two ideas for just some simple next steps. Idea one is, start with reality. Were you blown away a few minutes ago when you pull out your phone by how much time you spent on it? Or maybe you've begun to take inventory of how much TV you watch, where you always seem to have music or a podcast on, whatever it is, whatever your technology habits are. Maybe you're just like, I know that what I'm watching is not something I want. I know that where I spend my time here is not that great. And start with that reality. And if you don't know what it is, like, ask Jesus, what is that reality for me? Show me what it is. And idea two is, just sub it out with a spiritual discipline, with one of those five things. And so for some of you, you've been following Jesus longer than I've been alive. You have a dumb phone. You don't even have the internet. And that's probably the best place to be, honestly. But so for you, this might look like, oh man, I'm going to fast for a day about this one thing. You know, for you, that might mean something really beyond where most of us are. But for some of you, it might be like doing something like I did, like get an alarm clock instead of your phone. Maybe it means when you looked at your usage, you screenshot it at the beginning of the week and you say, man, I really want my app usage on this one thing to go down this week. And you check it in another week. Maybe it means, for me this last week, it meant when I went to go take a bath, instead of sitting there and listening to a podcast, I thought, ugh, I think I'm having this negative feeling. Maybe I'll talk to God about it. Instead of filling my mind with something else that could distract me from how I was feeling. For others, it just means figuring out a way to get alone and quiet. No phone, no noisy roommates, or small children, or chatty spouses, for even just 5 minutes. Talking to your husband or wife and saying, hey, can you just watch the kids for a second and just give me this time? Maybe it's just getting up 5 minutes earlier. Maybe it's turning off your radio on the way to work or school and just saying, Jesus, I don't know where to start. Show me where you want me to start with this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was this German pastor, theologian, and actually a spy, and he's the Christian face of the Nazi resistance. And during the Nazi dictatorship, he started these underground seminaries and communities. And at one point, his family's like, whoa, guy, like, you've gotten way too radical. Like, can you just come out of the woods with these people and come back home? This is way too much. Leave this idea behind. And so he said, okay, just come with me for a second. And so the story goes, he got in a boat, he rowed across the way, and they got out on the other side, and they walk up to this hill, and they look down, and they saw this Nazi youth training camp. And he turned to his family, and he said, what we are doing here has to be stronger than what they are doing there. I know it's a little different than a Nazi regime, but the way that you're using technology is forming who you are. And for a lot of us, it's doing that unintentionally in a way we're not noticing, in a way that just seems normal, which in some ways is scarier. And this isn't just a message for those of you who are taking in bad TV or whatever it is. This is for everyone. Your technology, if you use it at all, is forming who you are. And you get to choose whether the way it forms you is passive and unintentional, or if you want to be active and get intentional about how you use it. Because you can use it for amazing things. I'm not downing technology. Technology has taken us places that we wouldn't be able to have gone even 10 years ago. But let's get intentional as followers of Jesus about how we go about using it. Paul, who's a missionary that was alive right after Jesus, traveled all over the Roman Empire planting churches. And one of these churches was in Philippi, and he loved this church. They're just this joyful church. Paul says he just thanks God every time he would think of them and he would pray for them. But he writes them this letter. And at the very end of the letter is his final word of advice. He encourages them, again, with the don't be anxious. Don't worry. And right after he says, don't be anxious. Instead, do this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God, we thank you that we are privileged to be a people that carry your name. And we ask that as we look at technology, as we look at the reality of where we are with technology, that for each of us, you'd meet us where we are, that you would teach us to know you, that you would teach us to create space for you in places we hadn't even thought of having space for you before. And we just thank you for always knowing and understanding the time and generation that we as your people are in. And so we ask that you would just teach us how to faithfully steward this gift of technology that we have in our age, and that it would be something that we use in your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Thank you.